record. And then you're going back to the single system that is most easily messed with, has the highest error rate in counting, which is an old-fashioned paper ballot. Every single, I'm not going to get into whether the Diebold machines are crooked or not. They may be, they may not be. But every single voting system has a margin of error. And the idea that the good old days of paper ballots or clicking ballots, which some of you may have used to, I covered politics in Chicago.
This is the Quality News Network. The White House says it's moving swiftly to replace World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz, who announced he would resign in June. Top contenders include former Trade Chief Robert Zoellick and current Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. President Bush's nominee must be confirmed by the World Bank's board. In Washington, Democratic senators have called for a non-binding no-confidence vote in an attempt to convince Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to resign. Despite President Bush's continuing support for his old friend, an increasing number of lawmakers from both parties say Gonzalez's actions have injured the credibility of the Justice Department. Monday, the Senate begins debating a bipartisan immigration bill tentatively approved by the White House. The deal announced yesterday provides a guest worker program, fortified borders, and a controversial path for illegal immigrants seeking legal status. Also on Capitol Hill, the House has introduced a bill restricting the sale of surplus parts for F-14 fighter jets to museums. The legislation follows revelations that Iran, China, and other countries have routinely purchased sensitive military equipment from the U.S. in government auctions. The Israeli Air Force launched attacks against the Gaza Strip this morning, specifically targeting Hamas. At least 11 people were killed. In Iraq, 3 more U.S. soldiers have been killed and 1 wounded by roadside bombs near Baghdad. 53 American forces have died so far this month. In Baghdad last night, 2 ABC journalists were ambushed and killed on their way home from work. 143 reporters have been killed, another 48 kidnapped since the U.S.-Iraq invasion in 2003. In Kandahar, Afghanistan's information minister and the province's governor have been wounded in a bomb attack. The Taliban have been taking credit for the assault. In southern India, at least 5 people were killed today following an explosion at an historic mosque during Friday prayers. Officials say they suspect Muslim separatists. In Florida, the director of the National Hurricane Center is blasting the government for spending $4 million on a PR campaign while slashing much-needed research funds. Forecasters warn the upcoming hurricane season will be busy. The center is responsible for issuing the watches, warnings, and forecasts as dangerous storms develop.
This is Beyonce. For a performer, a smile is an instant reward. And once you've seen the smiles on the faces of children at Shriners Hospitals, you'll know why the Shriners have been providing their world-renowned medical care to kids for over 80 years at absolutely no charge. At Shriners Hospitals, innovative research and teaching programs are combined with specialized services and treatments for kids with orthopedic, burn, or spinal cord problems. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
A deep-sea scavenger company announced today it has discovered one of the wealthiest shipwreck treasures in history. The 17 tons of colonial-era gold and silver is valued at $500 million. The explorers are not disclosing the location of the shipwreck, but early reports say it was found off the English coast. The USDA has ordered a 15-state recall of beef products suspected of being contaminated with E. coli. The products are mechanically tenderized steak and ground beef produced by the Gordon Food Service in Michigan. Miller Brewing posted an annual 17% drop in North American profits and a 1% drop in revenues. Competition from imported beer and consumer interest in wine and higher-priced brews are being blamed for Miller's problems. New claims for jobless benefits fell by 5,000 last week, a four-month low. Analysts say the numbers indicate an unexpected strength in the labor market. Retailer JCPenney posted a 13% increase in quarterly profits on earnings of $238 million. British Airways confessed today it had been fixing fuel prices and has set aside $692 million for British and American fines. Shares for Europe's third-largest airline fell 3%. Light sweet crude is trading at $65.12 a barrel. You can find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, wake up, wake up, wake up. It's time of... We're going to skip the exercises. It's the Cup of Joe Show, everybody. John Fox sitting in, as I have been for a while now. Hopefully going to talk to Joe over the weekend. Joe, are you out there? Come in the chat room. Show your face. That'd be cool. Anyway, welcome aboard, everybody. It's Friday. Oh, and I hear Joe hopes to be back Monday. Excellent. That's excellent. Look forward to having Joe back. Anyway, welcome aboard, everybody. It's roulette today. What can I tell you? And if you got something to throw in, feel free. So, I don't know. Seems like Wolfowitz is the story of yesterday, isn't it? What a cocky son of a bitch. You know? And I heard Christopher Hitchens on Late Line tonight, like, defending him, talking about what a great guy he was. And that things were poisoned against him. I thought it was an interesting take. I don't know about you. You know. And then just to just kind of go, nope, trying to pull a Tony Blair, you know. Nope. Not going to go. Not yet. Not going to go yet. Seems as though the members of the organization are not real happy about the nice terms that he got to get out. Yeah, and that's the question. You know, why does this guy get to keep his job for 45 more days? Yeah. You know, he could have let this thing go. He could have gotten out of this a long time ago.
QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, everybody, wake the hell up. It's Monday, time to start your work week. 1, 2, 1, 2, out of bed, move it, move it! You two over there, I see you, get up. Good morning, everybody. How is everybody today? I am Joe Vecchio. This is the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and I am here in lovely, wonderful Chicago, which is kind of sort of trying to get away from winter and into spring, and it just keeps going up and down, back and forth. Last week we had 72-degree weather followed by snow. And like, what the hell is up with that? I'm going out the window. Who ordered this crap? I didn't order this. Take it back and bring in spring. I hope everybody had a good weekend. I kind of had a relaxing weekend. I really didn't do much. I went out and, you know, I did some shopping. I made some sausages. I love Italian sausage. I eat everything that's bad for me. If it's bad for me, I eat it. And my roommate's like, oh, how do you not gain weight? I said, well, you know, I've been the same weight since 1989. And I just eat. I eat what I eat. And then when I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm not hungry, I don't eat. It's very simple. And I try to get a little exercise every day. But you know what? And
I'm fascinated to find out what could possibly be the justification for, in the matter of one day, the postage to go up over 10 times. That's just absolutely fantastic. Imagine if you could do that with your business, just in one day go, kaboof, and there you go, and you must buy. That's just nuts. Oh, but, you know, these are the smaller things that we chase in life. All right, I think we're heading into our first break here on the Cup of Joe Show for a Friday. Like I told you, it's just a flying free morning here on the horn. So later on, though, when we get to my regular show, I'm gonna talk a little bit more about that geothermal stuff. Got quite a reaction from that yesterday, and I was really kind of impressed at the reaction that I got, because it was, I thought, kind of dry material. But you know, y'all really surprised me. You obviously listened and went and read the stuff and actually saw what I'm seeing in this technology and it being open source. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later this morning. So stick around. You're listening to the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice. We'll be right back.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, remember that one? That was big in the 60s, back when gas was like 30 cents a gallon, a house 22 grand, cigarettes a quarter a pack. But the packs came with a warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer. It proved to be right. Music's changed, and so have prices. Gas is almost $3 a gallon. A decent house costs a quarter of a million, and a pack of cigarettes is about $5. But now, there's another cancer warning from the U.S. Surgeon General. Radon causes lung cancer, whether you smoke or not. Radon is an invisible, odorless gas that seeps into your home from underground. The only way to know if you have high levels of radon in your home is to have your home tested. The U.S. Surgeon General recommends it.
Call 1-800-693-5343 or visit radon.oznet.ksu.edu. Sponsored by KDHE and the Kansas Radon Program at K-State.
This is the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe Radio Show here for a Friday morning. Hope you're doing well. And so, during the break, Scott and I are having a bit of a chat here, and you know, Howard's just really struggling, and I mentioned last night that they've put out kind of an executive order to the party that they're no longer allowed to use the term work choices. And I think it was Bob last night said, you know, tell them right to work is open. it's all one and the same. It's the same Orwellian kind of crap. But then today, Howard then tries to do the back off from that, saying, well, we're not banning them from using the term. We just, you know, the unions have done such a great job. Now, here comes the rub, okay? There's now going to be an ad campaign running, paid by Australian tax dollars, to be run to ad nauseum rotation levels, are going to be ads in which they're going to explain to the Australian people why they're better off. Because we're too stupid to know that we're better off when fewer people can afford to buy a home. You know, petrol prices are going through the roof. We've got an ecology that's falling apart, that, you know, they let it dry up and burn. We had big rains, though, over the last couple of days. I hope, you know, I think everyone's wise enough now that they're not going to go, oh, it rained, we got 50 millimeters in the catchment. That they're not going to slack off. They know that it's going to, you know, it takes 6 months of this solid before we'd actually get pulled out of it. And that's just another reason that Howard's kind of in the doghouse with the electorate. And there was something. Couldn't believe it, you know, after these poll numbers come out. And I mean, he's known, you know, he doesn't try and get out of that concept of saying, you know, I don't pay attention to the polls. He's known for watching the polls, and he knows it, and he doesn't run from it, so he does take it head on. But you know, that whole, oh, the electorate is just playing a joke on me kind of vibe that he was putting out, you know, they're just joking. It was just so unbelievably arrogant. And all I've been seeing in the blogs over here is just people going absolutely nuts, and the whole line is sitting there going, ah, oh, you think we're kidding, huh? No, we're not kidding, and here's why. Kaboof, 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 kaboof. And just like these, you know, obviously they've had these arguments amongst themselves and friends a million times before, because it was just these unbelievably eloquently written, you know, just one paragraph, or, you know, like an ordered list of just bullet points, and it, all of them were just like, yeah, I got problems, kaboom, 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 and not even a hint. Not even a hint of the right-wingers really even popping up, except for those conservatives that have come up to say, well, I'm a conservative voter, and this is why I'll probably be voting for Rudd this time. So now, in the Sydney Morning Herald, just hammering him, and then if that wasn't tasty enough for a paper that's just kept, you know, consistently kind of bending over to the right further and further, the Daily Telegraph, the Murdoch paper. And I just think that's just too funny. And even the line of the blog was even written just kind of, you know, this is the deal. It ain't no joke, and we're just going to ask people why. and the whole Iraq factor. Look at what's gone down with Tony Blair. You know, here's a guy that, you know, Gail even says over and over, she says, "Ah, oh, in the beginning, you know, if we knew then what we knew now." Because he's nothing of what, you know, it was just like complete false advertising. And then suddenly after he got elected, then suddenly everyone knew labor meant. But sometimes I worry about that happening here with Rudd, but I don't know. Scott says no. He says he reckons. So, all right. Since you're here, I've been, okay, background information for all of you that have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. But we have this work choices legislation, and Rudd, who is the opposition leader, had been up until recently very clear that he was going to just reverse this stuff when they came in, and that was it. It was just bang, gone. So then he goes out and he meets with the mining industry, and he comes back softening. Do you think that's him just listening and trying to get the whole picture, or do you think that's him unfortunately losing a grip on, say, a little bit of a fundamental, like I feel that the whole uranium thing was losing one on the fundamentals? Yeah. Scott Barry, everybody, my best mate, who's just in town. So, and this guy knows labor politics in this country and in this state like no one I know. So, here we go, labor from down under.
Howdy, Kevin Rudd softening because he's spoken to mining companies? No, he's being realistic. The workplace agreements that the mining industry have with the workers aren't a problem because they're well above award wage. They're very well looked after, and there's no point in going there. It's they're not going to lose conditions. The mining companies aren't that stupid. They're in the business of making money, and if they're paying their staff well, then their conditions are good, and they're in no danger, believe me.
Thanks for that. Yeah, well, you know, and it's the fact also that part of the changes will bring along this new oversight system in a way is the trade-off for that. They'll at least have a better idea or more regulation over what goes on, even if they're under that contract, you know? Or at least there's a better system in place than we have now for you know, because, I mean, there is no system here now, really, to speak of after these changes. You know, it's pretty much the employee left out on their little lonesome, you know. And I mean, you and I worked as, you know, just kind of like, you know, what they call an independent contractor, you know, in our lives, so we didn't have so much exposure to this. But you can see, you know, not everything's like our industry. Okay.
Just recently there was a show as part of the closing of a march against these IR laws. And there was a lighting company asked to provide their services free for the cause. And the reply from the owner of the company was, "Why would I do that? I'm for these laws. They're great for me. You do not believe how I can enslave my people." And no, find some other bunny. Well, and that really is what you know happened here, and the reason why we can also speak to this subject is that they did it to our industry in this state 2 years before it became federal, right? So those we're 2 years further down the yellow brick road than the rest of the country as far as our industry, and that's all because of that bloody accident we're on the gig that I was on. You know, because they slid that in with the occupational health and safety legislation to write the rule book, and it was suddenly also a whammo. You're no longer covered under this. You're no longer who you thought you were. You're now this. That's it. Kabang. Sign. You're on. You know, it was just it was like a light switch.
Yes. Bear in mind that the union that you were part of was also under the grand theory of amalgamating unions, because there were far too many of them and therefore they were very difficult to deal with, was that the theatre technicians, which we are loosely sorted with, also happened to cater for bar workers, amusement park rides, journalists for some unknown reason, and just theatre people in general.
Now, the union that would cover us if they hadn't been gutted, right, the Entertainment and Arts Alliance, that, as far as I understand, used to be two unions. It used to be actually covered by two separate unions, and then actually, because of things that happened after the Wharfies, they were merged into one, and the hierarchy from one basically laid on top of the hierarchy of another, and it ended up suddenly being ruled by television, from what I understand, and that's when it completely lost all its support. But some sort of wedge move happened there. Am I correct in my understanding of that?
No, it was a government policy to actually create super unions before they tried to annihilate them, because, you know, a big target is always easy to hit. It was action to some of the more successful and radical unions that had a history of withdrawing labour in a rather spectacular way, with some great timing, you know, beer strike just before Christmas. You know, you have to be even here. Just as oil companies managed to put their prices up round about those holiday peak periods, or in our case, when it gets closer to the weekend, you know, unions can do pull a few Swifties too.
Yeah, you can.
And I don't know who learned the trick first, but you know, it is a game of one-upmanship. But no, the shop assistants were thrown in with a whole heap of other unions, and clerical unions got thrown in with, you know, dishwashers and stuff like that. It was quite bizarre. But it got down to, I think, 23 super unions or something like that. So it was much easier to deal with award situations. But it was paving the way for workplace agreements. We're talking the launch of cable TV over here with the Fox Network and all that little jumble style. And so there was a lot of people went freelance.
Yeah.
And it was really attractive for a while, and then all of a sudden these big organizations realized that, yeah, it was good because there was no superannuation or any of that involved and all that sort of thing. Yeah. So it got really tidy, and then they just pulled the pin and the money went back to nothing. And they had less conditions. But some of them were happy.
All right, with that, we're gonna take our bottom of the hour break. We've run a little over, but that's okay. So stick around, everybody, with John Fox here on the Cup of Joe radio show here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
President Bush isn't listening to us.
It's time to end the war.
Congress passed a plan to end it.
And bring our troops home.
But the president vetoed it.
We want Congress to know
we are with you.
Don't back down to President Bush.
Send him the same bill again and again.
We the people will stand with you. Because stopping a president who believes he can do no wrong
takes people with courage to do what's right.
I'm John Edwards, and I approve this message.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
Minnesota is the most recent state in the union to ban smoking in bars and restaurants. The smoke-free bill was signed into law on Wednesday and will be implemented in October. Mike McGuire with the American Cancer Society says the bill will boost the economy because in the long run it means lower health care costs for employers.
The most primary economic impact will be healthier employees. It means lower health care costs. In terms of the impact on customers and patronizing bars and restaurants nationally, look at the data. The fact of the matter is that trends in the industry continue after a smoke-free law the same as they did before.
According to McGuire, secondhand smoke costs the state more than $215 million per year. Minnesota is the 20th state to pass a statewide smoke-free law. The U.S. continues to run up huge record trade deficits, now more than $3 trillion in the past 6 years alone. As Doug Cunningham reports, it's hurting the country.
Bob Baugh is executive director of the AFL-CIO's Industrial Union Council. He says these trade deficits are dangerous, unsustainable, and caused by a policy designed to benefit multinational corporations at the expense of workers around the world.
People want to act like this is an act of God, or it's like the weather and you can't do a damn thing about it. And that's a flat-out lie. This is a system that is run by rules, and the set of rules are made up by global corporations who do this in their own self-interest. It is a system made up of rules that are made by corporations and the governments that are complicit with them, and it's time to change it.
AFL-CIO Policy Director Thea Lee says U.S. trade policies aren't just damaging workers.
This isn't just labor, but it's also business and agriculture that are all being hurt by our trade policies.
Baugh says it's clear that current trade deficits are costing Americans jobs, and we need transformed trade policies that are really in our national interest.
Every one of those dollars certainly represents jobs that have gone away from here and are being produced elsewhere or could be produced here and are not.
A rally of nearly 10,000 transportation workers was held in Washington, D.C. on Thursday, calling attention to Bush administration policies concerning air and rail workers. International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers President Tom Buffenbarger called for a new president who isn't deaf and blind to rampant injustice. Buffenbarger said hundreds of thousands of workers lost jobs, pensions, and health care, while CEOs and senior executives gorged themselves with outrageous compensation packages. IAM Transportation Vice President Robert Roach added that Thursday marked the day the union would begin its search for a president who will work with transportation labor to provide secure jobs, pensions, and benefits. Also in attendance were a number of Democratic presidential hopefuls.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Cup of Joe radio show. John Fox filling in for Joe Vecchio, who makes a return on Monday. Monday, that'll be good. Hope you all are having a good Friday. It ain't good Friday, but speaking of religion, religious kind of freaks, I find it. I see one of the big headlines overnight is Dobson says he won't vote for Giuliani. Which time when he got done up in a dress did you decide he wasn't the man for you? Like, that's a surprise. And I found it interesting that he tried to separate, even verbally, you know, and I don't know whether he had a smirk on his face or his fingers crossed when he said it, you know, trying to distance himself from any organization or religion. You know, he's not the man for me. That's sad. That's just sad, even that that's news. And it's just sad that a guy like that can have such an impact on the world. He was such an ugly, ugly, ugly thing. But I'll tell you what, I was having a surf of comics. There were quite a few involving Pinky Winky. There were countless. It was good. But kind of getting back to what's been going on here with kind of Howard and the fact that he's just not looking real good. I reckon that we're really seeing a lot of similarities with what went on in the UK with Blair. But you know, I and the fact that I think because he's been going for 10 years, the people are ready, but then you bring up the prospect, which just scares the living daylights out of me, which would be Howard actually being the one guy to survive out of the coalition of the willing after all is said and done, going for what would end up being a 13-year or 12-year run or a 13-year run or something like that. And and if we're where we are now, what do you think the divide would possibly be with 3 more years of that? But I just don't. He's pulling out ads. He's, you know, he's still got, you know, he's still got something hanging, you know. And what could he possibly do after talking about children being thrown overboard for rescue, you know, for coercing rescue and the whole interest rate, when the interest rates the next time when the banks all said it doesn't matter who gets in, the interest rates are going to do what they're going to do. And they still were able to manipulate it in a way that made people almost vote against their best interests in a way, you know. What do you think he could possibly do?
Well, I think Australians have very deep hip pockets. And I think they're going to prepare themselves, or should prepare themselves, to just bend over and let little Johnny shovel that cash into those pockets, because it's going to be a fire sale. He's got a great surplus, and he's going to spend it. He's going to buy each one of those boats. And still have cash. And if he doesn't get in, Rudd's going to have nothing to spend. Well, he can at least have the future fund that he can't touch.
Okay, now this future fund thing is an interesting concept. That's for pensions. I'm understanding that right, and it's supposedly something that's not supposed to be touched. You can just give me a yeah. So, and you know, the parallels to, you know, what a Republican Democrat thing would be in the States are just, you know, are just like spot on. You know, they can't keep their hands off. And they're gonna spend it out from under you, and they're gonna do this and they're gonna do that. And remember the mess that we had to clean up the last time, which is their line. But then, seriously, in Australia, the Liberals are profiting off of the work that was done by those Labor governments, and they're taking the credit for that, while then at the same time stripping it away piece by piece. And, you know, it's just kind of they're burning it, they're taking it from both ends. Yeah. Okay, you know, and I can forgive them for taking credit for the mining boom, You know, that's just going to happen. That one's kind of forgivable. But the absolute short-sightedness on things like the environment when it comes to this drought are actually, I think, becoming a factor. The fact that he's still maintaining this stance of a non-stance on the issue and really doing almost nothing. Compound that on with Iraq and a few other things. I think people are over the hubris of this guy, and yet I think Kevin Rudd is arrogant enough in his own right that it won't be going too far backwards. So I think that we'll be able to, you know, the Australian people are willing to take this much of a punt, because if you can run this kind of surpluses, there's no reason why, even if they went on a spending, if they actually spent some money on some stuff, that people could survive and trade off those tax cuts for improved services. And I'll let you respond to that when we come back. We're going to take breaks. And my mate Scott Barry's hanging out with me today in the studio. So we've gone off on a bit of an Australian tangent, but I hope you get something out of this. So, and, you know, we're talking, a lot of this deals with, you know, labor issues and whatnot. And, you know, that's kind of where Joe's thing is, you know, the working man's thinking man. So at least I think we're keeping some of that up. Anyway, stick around here. We're going to take our final break. I just seen in the chat room something about the Teletubbies. Here on the Head On Radio Network, the Cup of Joe Radio Show, John Fox filling in for a Friday, and we're going to take a break and wrap it up when we come back. America's Liberal Voice.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doopie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay
for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
All right, everybody, welcome back to John Fox here on the Cup of Joe radio show, and I'm here with my good friend Scott Barry, who is a touring and audio engineer, as I used to do, but aside from that, pretty well versed in labor politics, especially, but just kind of Australian political history, modern political history, of course. But I was saying before we went to the break that with the fact that Costello's been running these budget surpluses, you know, year after year after year, and basically the people are being given their own money back a year later, I think minus the interest, which ends up going to the central bank, don't make me go down that road. But there's a definite sense that even if Labor gets in and does spend, there's money there to spend, right? And they still won't go into a mad deficit. And people would rather would give back the tax break if they get services that they actually really, really, truly need. You know, they'd much rather get more value out of the service for paying the bit of tax that they get back a year later, less interest.
I could answer that in just one term in the vernacular, which she'll be right, mate. It gives us something to complain about if things aren't running to our liking, because, well, you know, it ain't rocket science. I mean, hell, Hitler got the trains to run on time, you know. And so, you know, services, I don't know. I mean, they're making a fuss about getting into the 21st century with high-speed broadband around here. That's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But
if the trains still don't run right.
Yeah, and as they keep reminding us, we're an aging nation. And so this is what the concept of the Future Fund is, which is to sort of guarantee superannuation and pension payments. Whilst encouraging people to work until they die, basically. Well, and John's going to set an example by that, I think. I think he views this as a challenge to get back in, and he's got some history in mind, and a couple of tricks up his sleeve, and, you know, people can be bought. You know, what's a little freedom here and there, you know, as long as the trains run on time.
They don't run on time!
But that's because he is not responsible for them. The other thing, I don't know whether you're all aware, is that John is hearing impaired and does have a hearing aid, and I think part of his commitment to his theory on carbon credits is that he's saving energy on the battery on his hearing aid, only turning it up when it comes to election time. He's listening.
The he's listening thing. Joe Hockey the other night on Late Line, the industrial relations minister, I don't know if you caught this, this sad appearance, and I think I mentioned this on the night. The guy who Howard has trying to play deflection on all this industrial relations stuff is this really green, absolute pathetic amateur. I actually think, you know, even though he might be a bit of a weasel, I don't think he's actually a bad guy, but I think he's a little, shall we say, deluded in his party pride, shall we say, and he's trying just a little too hard in a job that he just doesn't quite fit into, and he's just an absolute amateur of the highest order. And where I mean that is that this is a politician that is so green, and I feel bad for him in a way, because he'll look like the kid who's actually gotten the cookies out of the cookie jar, has them behind his back, and looks right at mom and says, "No, mom, I didn't take any cookies." And he's got that same grin on his face where you know he doesn't even believe what he's saying.
He's not green. He's been around. He's failed at two other ministries. One of them being tourism. I think he was possibly responsible for launching Steve Irwin.
Well, you know, I mean, and Tony Jones on Lightline just absolutely just kept going, okay, and here's a little more rope, and here's a little more rope, and here's a little more rope, tug, 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 and here's a little more rope, tug, 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 tug. And it was just, and it was like, he was so pathetic that he didn't want to tug too hard because he just felt really bad for the guy. And I think it's purely because no one else will carry water for Howard in that position than that guy. You know, I just really think that in that particular spot, all the senior members are just like, Nat, don't want nothing to do with that one. Give it to the kid. Give it to the eager kid and keep him away from Kevin Rudd and Channel 7. You know, it's...
could become the next Amanda Vanstone. I think he's got the budding figure for it, and I'm sorry that to you guys in the States it's like you don't see these people, but I reckon put a frock on him and send him off to Naples or wherever she's gone to annoy as an ambassador and...
Yeah, well, I tell you, Vanstone, she's another one of those just kind of even though I actually think Vanstone's incredibly bright. I think she's incredibly smart, and I actually when I was doing some stuff down at the recital hall in the city, I'd always go do the speaking engagement stuff. And one night it was the New Scientist annual convention thing, and the panel discussion was nature or nurture, and she was on the panel, and it was one of the Triple J guys you know, chaired it, and it was really, really good, and she had some really interesting things to say. And I really had a problem for a while because I saw her in that context, and I was really, really impressed. I was really, you know, really well thought out, you know, her arguments, you know, because it was all a hypothetical kind of professional, you know, let's delve into the topic of just for fun kind of thing. And well, you know, not just for fun, but, you know, and but then I'd see her on the television and go and hear what was going on in her actual gig, but where, you know, I just go, that's the same person, and it just always blew me away. But Scott Barry, thanks. We're going to wrap it up here for today, but thank you very much for hanging out, and but you'll be here when I come and do the other show. Put the coffee pot on. All right, everybody. Thanks to unreportednews.net, who supports the Cup of Joe radio show. Thanks to the Carpenters. Thanks to Agnes Kincaid for producing. Thanks to the mods and the bloggers. And so stick around. News coming up, Q&N, and then Fox Up with me. With some different music. So anyway, hey, 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 get back to work.
chug a jug of George. I'll dip a mug of Doug with the creamer of Steve. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scott, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. And retreat to the carafe of Matt upon a tray of Ray. I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe.
This is the Quality News Network. The White House says it's moving swiftly to replace World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz, who announced he would resign in June. Top contenders include former Trade Chief Robert Zoellick and current Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. President Bush's nominee must be confirmed by the World Bank's board. In Washington, Democratic senators have called for a non-binding no-confidence vote in an attempt to convince Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to resign. Despite President Bush's continuing support for his old friend, an increasing number of lawmakers from both parties say Gonzalez's actions have injured the credibility of the Justice Department. Monday, the Senate begins debating a bipartisan immigration bill, tentatively approved by the White House. The deal announced yesterday provides a guest worker program, fortified borders, and a controversial path for illegal immigrants seeking legal status. The Israeli Air Force launched attacks against the Gaza Strip this morning, specifically targeting Hamas. At least 11 people were killed. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas canceled a visit to Gaza after it was revealed Hamas was plotting to assassinate the moderate Fatah leader. Clashes between the two factions this week have killed nearly 50 and wounded at least 100. 84% of Americans say they have a favorable view of the U.S. military, despite negative views of the Iraq war. In Baghdad last night, two ABC journalists were ambushed and killed on their way home from work. 143 reporters have been killed, another 48 kidnapped since the U.S.-Iraq invasion in 2003. In Thailand, the military-led government has cracked down on 3,000 community radio volunteers and stations for airing comments from Thailand's ousted premier, now exiled in London. Radio